Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, and we're going to be reading just the verses 20 through 24 of this chapter. Proverbs 6, beginning at verse 20, what we hear now is God's word. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light. And the reproofs of discipline are the way of life, to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, this morning is our Christian Education Sunday, a time when we focus upon the training of our covenant children in the fear of the Lord. And it seemed appropriate to look this morning to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, particularly in the first 9 chapters, is a book about training our children. Over and over, listen to me, listen to my instruction, the training of our children. It is a book that in many ways lays 2 paths before us. There is the path of wisdom and the path of folly. And these are at times described in terms of paths of fidelity or paths of infidelity and adultery. This morning we look at that path of wisdom. How do we learn the path of wisdom? Wisdom does not come to us naturally. It is something we need to be taught, something we need to be instructed in. So this morning we're going to look at this chapter and these verses from Proverbs, a few others as well from the book of Proverbs, and to talk about godly instruction. What that means for us as parents, what that means for our children. Well, children, who do we learn godly instruction from? What does verse 20 say? My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. We get godly instruction from our parents. And that is spoken of a number of times in this first section of the Proverbs. Already in chapter 1, verse 8, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Listen to your father and listen to your mother. They are like adornments for you. From chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. For length of days, for peace in life. Children, no one loves you on this earth more than your parents do. And they want you to have a long and peaceful life. And so we listen to them. From chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Wisdom passed on from parents to children to the next generation. Generational instruction. That covenant line of faithfulness that as we teach our children, we trust that God by His grace will allow them to teach their children as well. We listen to our parents. Now, of course, that obligates us as parents as well. That obligates us to teach our little ones, to teach them when they're small, to teach them the songs of the church, to teach them the Bible stories, to teach them how to pray. We teach them all these basic practices of piety already when they're young. It's never too soon to begin training our children in these things. We don't need to wait until they hit school age before we start praying with them, teaching them to pray, teaching them how to sing the songs of Zion. No, we begin really from day one. We begin from day one teaching them they're part of a covenant family. These things are what we do as the people of God. And as they grow, they will more and more embrace this glorious truth for their own. There are helps for us as parents in doing that. The church comes alongside of us. And through programs like Sunday school, and through things like catechism, the church comes alongside us as parents to help us in the training of our children. But we must not forget that that responsibility ultimately falls on us. Sunday school teachers and catechism teachers are here to assist you, to help you, but it's your responsibility as parents to make sure that that instruction is taking root. To put it very bluntly, it's your responsibility as parents to ask your children, have you done your lesson? Have you memorized your verse? Have you learned your question and answer for Reverend Niemeyer's catechism class? And I would suggest we don't ask that question on the way to church on Sunday morning. That question is asked on Friday night before they go out with their friends. Have they prepared? Have you as parents taken the assistance of the church in the training of your children? Oh, there are others who assist us as well. We think of the assistance of Christian day schools, of those who help us, who assist us as parents in the training of our children, which is why it is so important. It is so important that the training they receive in day school is consistent with the training they receive at home. That the same biblical principles and values and instruction be given in their day school education as it is in church and as it is at home. That they be instructed by believers. And this is why we are so thankful. We are so thankful when we have Christians teaching in the public schools that they might teach as Christian teachers. We have some in our own midst that labor in that field, and we thank God for them. For our children, we want them instructed by those who will be consistent with the teaching they receive from their parents. It obligates us as parents. It obligates us as children. Kids, you are obligated, you are required to learn from your parents. Now, when you're little, that's fairly easy to do, because if mom and dad say it, it's the truth, and you do it. As you get older, it can become more difficult. As you, children, enter your teenage years, and you begin to wonder, do mom and dad really get it? Do they really understand how things really are? I can assure you, young people, I can assure you, teenagers, your parents have lived a lot more life than you might think they have. They do get it. They understand. They know the nature of sin and temptation. God calls you to learn. Listen, my son, to my instruction. Listen to the words of your father. Listen to the words of your mother, because ultimately, mom and dad are not just making this up. Mom and dad have been instructed by God and in His word of how to teach you. We look at Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. The Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth, knowledge and understanding. Our text in verse 23, for the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is a light. We think of Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Ultimately, we are instructed by God Himself through His word. A word that is absolutely reliable, a word that is absolutely trustworthy, a word that teaches us godly instruction. Well, how is it that we go about that? Our author says, verse 21, about this teaching, these commandments, bind them on your heart always and tie them around your neck. Bind them on your heart always. This is an ongoing part of our growth in the Lord, an ongoing instruction. Bind them on your heart. And again, from the Proverbs, a number of times our author makes reference to the heart. From chapter 3, verse 3, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. From chapter 4, verse 20, my son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, let them not escape from your sight, keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the streams of life. And from chapter 7, my son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. What does it mean to always have this word written on our heart? The idea here is to internalize this truth. Not simply to know it on a surface level, but to internalize this truth, to know what it is the Word of God says. Beyond knowing it, this is a matter of the heart that we love it. That we love the law of God. We love the commands of God. Not simply something on a surface level, but they are life to us. They are joy to us. They are a delight to us. God's laws, His precepts, His commands. Bind these things on your heart. Love these. Love the Word of God. for that is for your good. He uses the word bind. You don't casually bind something. Binding is deliberate. Binding is active. Do this in an active, ongoing way that we continually have this internal love for the word, the commandments, the godly instruction that God gives to us. He says, bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck. And this is just a little bit different. Bind them on your heart has to do with internally knowing and loving the ways of God. Tie them around your neck, that is something external. Children, this morning I tied a tie around my neck. You can see that. It's something visible. It's something obvious. What is he saying here? He's saying it's not enough just to know what is right, even to love what is right, but we need to do that which is right. It has to be evident, it has to be obvious in our actions, obvious in the words that we speak, that we continually have this desire to live in a way that is pleasing for God. Do this always. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. And this is not just for our children. This is for all of us. The continued desire to know more and love more from the Word of God and live that Word in our lives every day. Because doing this, living according to the Word of God, living according to godly instruction, is that which is the path of blessing for us. And he gives us such beautiful pictures here in verse 22. He says, with regard to God's law and his commandments, when you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you. When you walk, they will lead you. The Word of God is like a guide to our lives. It leads us in the path of righteousness. We don't have to wonder what God requires of us. He tells us in His Word. He gives us clear revelation. And when you walk, when you go through life, when you live, you will be led, guided, directed by the Word of God. This is blessing for God's people. It's blessing for our children that when they walk, they are guided and led by the Word of God. The author says, when you lie down, they will watch over you. And here again, he changed the picture just a little, not so much in terms of guidance, but in terms of comfort. The Word of God is a comfort for us. When you lie down, when you sleep, you can do so in comfort because you know God is in control. Back in chapter 3, verse 24, he says this, if you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Knowing that God, through His Word, leads, guides, directs, we can be comforted. We can lie down and sleep because God is in control. Our minds go to a psalm like Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. You can sleep. You can slumber because God does not. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. When you lie down, you can sleep because God watches over you. And he says, and when you awake, they will talk with you. And this again has the idea of an ongoing conversation, like talking with a friend. God's word is like that friend who continually talks with us and encourages us and directs us, especially for our children, especially for our high schoolers. There are lots of voices out there. There are lots of voices that would seek to bring you away from the path of blessedness, away from the path of righteousness. Those voices cannot be trusted. God's voice in His commands, God's voice in His word, is that voice you can always trust, because it is always true. When you awake, these truths will talk with you like a close companion who gives you wise advice, not the way of folly. Even when that word can be difficult for us to take. He says, "For the commandment is a lamp, the teaching is a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life." The reproofs of discipline are the way of life, to preserve you from the evil, to preserve you from the adulteress. They are the way of life and peace for us, even when God's word comes and it calls us up short because of a particular sin we have been dealing with. It is for our good. And we listen to that word, for it comes to us from God our Father. Again, from chapter 3, verse 11. "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves, as a father the son in whom he delights." The Lord reproves those whom He loves. We receive even the corrections that we get from the Word of God, the corrections in our life, as that which God gives us for our good. God gives us because He loves us, because He will protect us throughout our life. From chapter 4, verse 10, "Hear, my son, accept my words, that the years of your life may be many." The years of your life may be many. We read in the law again and again that children obey their parents, that it may go well with you, and that you will live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. We train our children, even words of reproof, words of correction, because that is how God deals with us as His children. Godly instruction. And what I find so interesting is, as we read the Proverbs that talk about sons learning from their fathers, children learning from their parents, this is not just good advice. Godly instruction is not just good advice. But this obligation to train our children in the fear of the Lord flows from and is consistent with our covenant theology. God chooses a people for His very own. God comes to them with the call of the gospel. And that call goes out again this morning. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ. And if you do, be brought into that family of God. But God is so gracious, and He is so merciful, He's so compassionate, that He includes our children in that. They are part of the covenant family, and so we train them as children who belong to the Lord. It's no accident that when our spiritual forefathers in the Dutch Reformation came to the United States, one of the first things they would do when they made a settlement was build a church, and one of the next things they would do is build a school. Because they recognize this is what our children deserve, to be instructed in the ways of God, not only at home, not only at church, but also in our ongoing schooling. It's consistent. with the fact that God calls us to be His own, and God is so merciful and God is so gracious that our children are included. And if I can put it this way, our children deserve this kind of instruction because they too are members of God's covenant. It's a huge task. A huge task for us as parents, a huge task for us as a church, a huge task for any education institution. And so, as always, we rely upon God. We rely upon His Spirit. We rely upon His grace to help us to fulfill the vows we make as parents. When we bring our children forward for baptism, we say, we will do all in our power to train this child in the ways of the Lord. May God help us to fulfill that obligation as parents, as a church, as educational institutions for His glory and for His praise. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we are so thankful to You for the gift of children. So thankful, O God, that we see, even in our own midst, generation after generation of Your faithfulness here, as You have called parents and their children to be part of Your covenant family. Lord God, help us all to fulfill our obligations as a part of that covenant, to train our children well, as children to learn well these wonderful lessons, and as the body of Christ, to do all we can to encourage the ongoing instruction, the godly instruction of our children. Oh, Lord God, it depends on You for Your blessing. So we ask for that blessing to be upon this upcoming school year, upon this upcoming Sunday school catechism year, upon this upcoming Bible study year. Lord God, in all of these ways, draw us closer to You. Lead us in the way of wisdom and keep us from the path of folly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We turn to number 119b. Number 119b. How shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? Your word, O Lord, will safely lead if in its wisdom they confide. We're going to sing both verses, 119b. Let's stand together as we sing. Receive the parting blessing of our God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.